This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. A few weeks ago, I had the FTC senior attorney, Hayter McGee, on to speak about COPPA. The FTC was not able to answer certain questions about COPPA, but today I have someone who can. Case Western Reserve University School of Law Director Andrew Geronimo. Thanks for joining me, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
So could you tell me why YouTube was so vague when it came to helping content curators with getting COPPA compliant?
I think the part of the reason they're being so vague is because it really is a legal determination. So in the enforcement action that the FTC and the states have brought for enforcing COPPA, YouTube has its own liability, but users could have their own liability as well. So YouTube does not want to get in the business of giving legal advice to its users. They want to do as much as possible to separate their own liability from their users' liability. And that's one, why they're being vague, and two, why they're making some of these changes and putting the onus on their users to comply with the law.
Now, I've spoken with someone from the FTC and trying to really understand their guidelines, and I was still confused. And it's because it's just very vague. Oh, here's one. The use of animated characters or child-oriented activities and incentives. And the first thing that comes into my mind is video games. But not all video games are made equal. So is something like Mortal Kombat and Super Mario Brothers, are they both intended for children? I'm not sure anymore. What's your take on that?
Right, and I think they're not. And there are certain rating agencies and other things in terms of video games where they'll say this content is directed more at, you know, older teens or adults versus video games or animated characters that are suitable for all ages. I think it really is a case-by-case, fact-intensive situation where you've got to really look at and see what an individual objective observer would think about where your content is directed. And I know that's not a very satisfying answer, but it really will be, in my opinion, at the end of the day, whether something is child-directed or not will depend upon whether or not you intend for children to view it. So in my mind, a Mortal Kombat is not child-directed, whereas, you know, some other general audience things may be.
Now, when it comes to TV, growing up, I remember Beavis and Butthead was a big thing. Like, oh, is it directed towards children because it's a cartoon? So the way they figured it out is, hey, we'll air it after 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., and now we know it's not for kids because, hey, kids should be in bed at this point. But right. We don't have that luxury on the internet. So when people use animated figures, like some people like to draw stuff, how can you figure out whether kids want to watch this or not, especially if it's not intended for them, but because it's a cartoon, it still attracts them? What can you do there?
Well, it is a difficult situation, and I will say television is different from the internet and how things are enforced, and there are different rules and standards for each of them, mostly because of the data tracking and the data aggregation that can take place on the internet. So those are really the harms that we're trying to get around with the COPPA rule, is making sure that these persistent tracking mechanisms where we can collect data on children, track them across and sort of aggregate this data to really build profiles, consumer profiles, of children and other minors. What we're really trying to get at is an individualized determination of the content itself. So the safest thing for a creator to do would be to, one, obtain some true legal advice, to have somebody analyze the COPPA rule against their own content and determine whether or not they think it is for kids. There's also, I think, a sort of a common sense side to this where, you know, even if you don't intend for your content to be directed towards children, if it just keeps coming up where you have actual notice that your videos are, I wouldn't say exclusively viewed by children, but overwhelmingly viewed by children, then you should be doing something to mark your videos as directed towards children.
One of the things I was speaking with other YouTube content creators, some people had the idea of just randomly swearing in their videos. Is that a good idea to do?
I don't think that I would advise that just as a general matter. Obviously, if you're doing like a Baby Shark remake and just, you know, dropping some F-bombs in there, that's not going to save you. That may, in fact, get you in more trouble. But it does make sense, I think, to sort of elevate the complexity of your content such that it will increase your chances of being viewed as not being directed towards children. I have young children myself, and I see how quickly their eyes glaze over, you know, when I talk, my wife and I talk about legal things or other things. I don't think that interspersing videos that are otherwise directed towards children with profanity or other adult topics will really be that helpful.
Now, when it comes to the YouTube channels, some people think that, hey, if I demonetize my channel, I'll be safe. Is that true or no?
I'm not sure whether we could say that they will be safe by demonetizing. Certainly by demonetizing, I think it would create less of a target, one from the FTC to go after an individual creator. But even so, even if you demonetize, YouTube, under their policies, are still enforcing in their terms of service users marking their content as for kids or not. So while demonetizing may take you out of the realm of FTC's COPPA enforcement, what you'll find is if you're mismarking videos, YouTube may take action and suspend your account or do something else. So there's really two sources of governance on YouTube. One would be, you know, YouTube itself saying you're no longer welcome on our platform, or the FTC in coming and saying, you know, you've got these videos, they're directed towards children, you're enrolled in AdSense or the partner program or whatever it is, and collecting things, and they would enforce it on that way.
Now, since this is just normal people making these videos, do you think the COPPA fine is a bit excessive?
It depends on what the fine is. So we've never really seen any authoritative COPPA litigation. What we've seen is COPPA enforcement actions brought and then settled and some consent decrees. I'm not sure I've ever seen a COPPA enforcement action against an individual creator rather than an entire platform itself. I will say in terms of the Musical.ly or TikTok settlement and the YouTube settlements, they seem like these excessively large numbers, but when you view them in the context of the overall revenue of the company, they're really drops in the bucket. So part of what the FTC is trying to do in enforcement and in levying these fines is, one, make a bit of a splash and let folks know that they are enforcing these privacy laws, but two, also make it sting a little bit for the companies so that they will be more diligent about enforcing them going forward.
Think that COPPA should be rewarded to match with more current times?
You know, I actually don't think that COPPA should be reworded, or else I don't think it should be reworded in the direction that I think that you and your listeners would be interested in hearing me say it should be reworded. And I think that we should be doing more to protect children's privacy online just because of the ways the content and the tracking mechanisms are advancing and really the proliferation of children's interest in these internet sites. I would support studies to see what we could do to protect children's privacy more than we already do.
Would disclaimers help at all? Like if YouTube just had a disclaimer saying, hey, you have to be 13 years or older to participate in watching these videos, or if maybe content creators themselves put a disclaimer up saying, hey, this isn't for kids.
Well, YouTube effectively already does that. So YouTube, in its terms of service, because of COPPA, in part at least, limits its user base to, really it says you've got to be 18 or older to use YouTube, or in no event should you be under 13, and they do that largely because of COPPA. YouTube themselves could make it so that children under 13 could join YouTube, and then they would just have to comply with COPPA. They would have to give parent notice of the data they're collecting and have some verifiable consent where we know that, or we're at least comfortable that parents have consented to the collection of this data. But I don't think individual users, again, it would go back to a factual determination as to whether the content is child-created. I don't think that you could put, and I don't mean to pick on Baby Shark, but it is a very popular video on the platform. If you were to upload Baby Shark and say this is only for users over the age of 13, I don't think that would cut it from a COPPA compliance perspective. Some of it will depend on what really the zeitgeist and the culture is around what kids are searching for and looking for and consuming on these platforms.
You know, we're only talking about the United States. What about the people who are who live in Europe or live in Japan or Korea? Will they be fined by COPPA?
Well, certainly the FTC only has jurisdiction within the United States, but then that again gets back to the issue of, you know, is it YouTube enforcing some policies or suspending an account or taking some other action, or is it the FTC themselves? So even if the government doesn't, the U.S. government doesn't have jurisdiction over a specific user, it may be that in their effort to comply with COPPA, they're going to take some action that might not necessarily be illegal for a certain user in their individual country, but YouTube's going to take the action so that they can continue to comply with the law of the country in which they're based.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Could find more information about me on my Case Western Reserve University School of Law's website. I've also got a Twitter account, Andy_Geronimo, where I, you know, tweet about some law things, some fun things, some kid things as well. So that's mostly where you can find me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.